Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Buffalo, I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks.
At mybuffaloperks.com.
Here's a straight-up deal from Straight Up Wines and Liquors. Get $20 for just $10. That's a 50% savings. Straight Up Wines and Liquors, Elmwood at Washington and Kenmore. It's the deal of the day for My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com.
I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks.
At mybuffaloperks.com.
Hey, I know that song. That's Axel F. Hey, before we go, let's remind you one more time, West Seneca Rotary with its Shred It event today. It's from 9 to noon, Dunn Tire, and that's on Union Road, West Seneca. If you have old tax returns, bank, medical statements, things you want to get rid of safely, that's the place to do it. Drive-up service, you don't even have to get out of the car, a $10 donation per file box is requested, and it all benefits the West Seneca Rotary Club. So if you've got stuff to get rid of and you're out in that neck of the woods, get over there today and get rid of it and help the Rotarians with their good work. Corker's Social Club is having its 18th annual spring dance on Saturday the 27th. That's, as I said earlier, a couple of weeks from now. It features the music of Crash Cadillac. We worked with them last year at the street dance in Tonawanda, and I think they're coming back this year. They do a great job. Crash Cadillac at the Corker Social Club spring dance on Saturday the 27th. Music from 8 until midnight. Doors open at 7. The bar opens at 7:30. That's the important thing. And the place, the Depew Polish Falcons Club on Columbia Avenue for that one. Big pancake breakfast, Boy Scout Troop number 4 in Lockport with their all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast on Sunday the 28th, which would be 2 weeks from tomorrow. They'll serve from 7:30 to 11:30, St. John the Baptist Church Hall at the corner of Chestnut and McCollum in Lockport. Well, look at the time. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. I'm leaving. I'm getting into a mellow mood because it's Masters weekend. And as you know, it's like no other. Yes, the hoopla of the hoops tournament is over. The annoying college kids are back on campus, and I'm going to kick back, if you don't mind, and enjoy the relaxed tones of Jim Nance as he describes the gracious sights and sounds at Augusta National. I've laid in a generous supply of my favorite brews, Guinness, Blue Moon, Beck's Dark, IPA to be named later. My granddaughters, I put them to work. Lucy and Gracie came over yesterday, cleaned out the man cave. I bailed out my brother-in-law, Benny, so he could whip up his world-famous fried liverwurst and Limburger sandwiches. We'll kick back with the brews. Life is good, everybody. Have a great week. Thanks to Jerry Craig, Jacob Fayok, Mike Baggerman, and Tom Connolly in spirit. It's 9 o'clock in Buffalo.
Buffalo WKSE HD3 Niagara Falls, a radio.com station. The radio.com app is the official new home of WBEN. Download it today, favorite WBEN, and listen to us anytime, anywhere. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. We've got partly cloudy skies throughout the region. It's 45 degrees in Buffalo. I'm Mike Baggerman, News Radio 930 WBEN. Your top stories for Saturday, April 13th. The latest on a UB student hurt as part of a possible hazing. Plus, will the surveillance vote of Patriots owner Robert Kraft be made public.
The WBAN First Alert forecast calls for sunshine today, but it is going to be breezy and cooler with highs in the 50s.
A student at the University at Buffalo remains on life support after a hazing incident that happened at the Sigma Pi frat house on Custer Street in Buffalo. Buffalo police and campus police now investigating the incident. We don't know the details of what the alleged hazing was, but there are reports that indicate the student went into cardiac arrest. University President Satish Tripathi has suspended the activities of all fraternities and sororities as a result of this incident. The university wouldn't comment further. Neighbor Adam Rodriguez said that besides the frat house, their neighborhood is usually quiet.
There's families that live in this house, so thank God there was no kids around here at that time.
The student's name has not been released. Sentencing for the former Erie County Social Services Commissioner, Al Dershberger, will spend the next 5 years in prison after raping one of his staffers in an Albany hotel room in December of 2017. The staffer was drunk and did not consent to oral sex with Dershberger and repeatedly told the commissioner no. The two were in Albany for a conference. Dershberger was convicted of third-degree rape last month. He'll also have to serve 10 years of post-release supervision. WBEN News Time is 9:02. An indictment filed against the Chinese woman accused of talking her way into President Trump's Florida resort.
The indictment charges 32-year-old Yujing Zhang with unlawful entry and making false statements, the same two charges outlined by authorities in a criminal complaint following her arrest 2 weeks ago. The indictment alleges that Zhang knew full well that she was not telling the truth when she allegedly told Secret Service agents that she was at Mar-a-Lago to attend a United Nations friendship event. If convicted, Zhang could face several years in prison and hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
In New York State, even though New York has already outlawed several different versions of synthetic marijuana, Governor Andrew Cuomo said not enough is being done. He announced yesterday more resources for law enforcement, such as canines who can search for the drugs at state prisons, and also a public awareness campaign about the dangers of synthetic marijuana. Part of the strategy also includes clinical guidance for mental health professionals and emergency room staff who treat users. Synthetic marijuana is sold under brand names like K2. The drugs are intended to mimic the effects of marijuana, but officials said they have a far more dangerous side effect. Cuomo said more needs to be done to discourage use and hold dealers accountable. Attorneys for New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft are trying to get the surveillance video that led to Kraft's arrest from being made public. Kraft faces two charges of soliciting prostitution after a raid on a Jupiter, Florida day spa.
Lawyers for Patriots owner Robert Kraft back in a Florida courtroom Friday trying to convince a judge that secretly recorded video of Kraft should not be made public. Kraft was charged with misdemeanors for allegedly soliciting prostitution at the Orchids of Asia day spa in Jupiter, Florida on two separate occasions. He's pleaded not guilty and is demanding a jury trial.
That was Zachary Keish reporting. In our final story, a 3-year-old boy thrown from the third floor of the Mall of America, allegedly by a total stranger.
The horrifying scene at the Mall of America just outside Minneapolis, a 5-year-old boy plummeting from a third floor balcony, allegedly thrown by a 24-year-old man, the young boy landing on the ground floor.
We have a report over on the south side that someone just fell from the third floor to the first floor.
Crowds giving emergency care to the child, performing CPR in the moments directly after the fall.
That was Alex Perez with that report. The boy is still in critical condition at the hospital with life-threatening injuries. The suspect is in police custody. WBEN News Time is approaching 9:05. Your WBEN First Alert forecast is straight ahead.
The radio.com app is the official new home of WBEN. Download it today, favorite WBEN, and listen to us anytime, anywhere.
The Shaw Festival presents Rope by Patrick Hamilton. A gripping psychological thriller made famous by the classic Alfred Hitchcock movie. Set in 1920s London, two college students murder a fellow student just for kicks. Will they get away with it? Rope, it will keep you on the edge of your seat. Tickets are on sale now. Go to shawfest.com.
Hi, this is Sandy Beach.
Can I be in this one?
No, Dan. I'll handle it. Dan and I are hitting the road, and we'd like you to join us. Pack a bag, pack a big bag, because from October 6th through October 20th, we're going on a brand new Viking Jupiter Ocean cruise ship, visiting 7 countries, 10 ports of call, including Norway, England, France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Portugal, and Spain. The only thing missing is you. Call AAA at 1-844-688-7477, and we're on our way to see the world. Including Dan.
Well, it's time to get out your gardening gloves, forks, and trowels. Springtime is finally making an appearance just in time for the biggest gardening event of the season, the Mishler's 59-cent perennial sale starting April 26th. You'll find incredible savings on more than 75 varieties of perennials. Get the full list at mishlersflorist.com. Find out which ones are deer-resistant, drought-tolerant, good for the shade, and Western New York natives. They can even show you the ones that attract butterflies and hummingbirds. Sold in 4-packs for just $236, these plants are a great start for the perennial gardener, and at just 59 cents per plant, you'll be able to fill your entire garden. Plus, their perennials are grown in Mishler's very own greenhouses with the Mishler's touch, so you know you're getting quality. Stock up for summer. Check out all their new varieties. Get there early because these perennials always go fast. Don't miss the Mishler's perennial sale, April 26th through May 3rd. Mishler's Florist and Greenhouses, South Forest between Main and Worley, Williamsville.
Your WBEN First Alert forecast calls for mostly sunny skies today, but it will be breezy and cool. The high 54 in the city to 59 while inland. Clear skies during the evening hours, but clouds move in, and we'll get a little rain towards dawn with a low of 37. Periods of rain and rumbles of thunder tomorrow to be a breezy, cooler day with a high of 47. Cloudy and breezy with a couple of showers on Monday. We stay cool and in the mid-40s. With the WBEN First Alert forecast, I'm meteorologist Maggie Johnson.
Partly cloudy skies outside of our Amherst studios. It's 45 in Buffalo. I'm Mike Baggerman, News Radio 930 WBEN and WBEN.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're at News Radio 930.
The following is paid programming.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the soon-to-be completely all-new HuntRealEstate.com as of April 30th. Watch for that. But even today, everything is still easier for your real estate and home ownership experience at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and soon to be linked to our site in the suburbs of Boston. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. Rates are coming down still. It's an amazing time in our economy, and if you want to take advantage of it for the best opportunity for you to build wealth, there's still nothing like buying a home. And so try today, 633-3700, and see what you qualify for and find those lowest rate and closing costs today and only at Hunt Mortgage. And ask about one of our many exclusive programs, including our what we call our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash because you have a mortgage commitment, not a pre-qualification as it's termed in our industry, which really, for all intents and purposes, isn't worth the paper it's written on. It gives you a guide, but it's not, no one can substantiate that except the lender that you might have talked to, and they won't substantiate it until they actually find a house. Unlike the pre-purchase commitment, where you will actually have a mortgage commitment that says that you will be loaned X number of dollars based on your qualifications, and then all you need to do is find the property to go along with it. And that's only available through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700 for personalized, customized, I like to call knock your socks off service. And check out that low rate guarantee. There's really nothing like it. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property. That's any property listed for sale all across the regions we serve. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. Doesn't have to be ours. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And it's much faster than turning your computer on or even going to your cell phone and Googling a property. This is much faster, and I can assure you it's a much more pleasing experience as well. And with the spring market upon us, there is still a shortage of homes available here in Western New York, as there is throughout the entire nation. I was just at a conference this week in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were all gnashing our teeth in Nashville about the lack of inventory in the market. And this is not going to change. So the idea is to get into the market, if you're interested, as soon as you can, as best equipped as you can, and the pre-purchase commitment there's no better way, and get competitive. Find the house you want, act, and see what happens. But you'll only be one of thousands if you just kind of go in and say, well, I've got this pre-qualification. You can be one of one, effectively competing with anybody who's got all cash with that pre-purchase commitment. The time is right now. 633-3700 is Hunt Mortgage, and 633-9400 is Hunt Real Estate Corporation. And Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, none of whom are playing right now, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. But you can still watch good hockey right here in Buffalo. We've got the Frozen Four tonight, the finals, which I'm going to, which I can't wait to see. It's among the most exciting hockey in the world any time of the year. I wish we were in the playoffs, though. The Sabres would be a lot more fun this time of year. I only can watch and live vicariously through my friends in other cities as they watch their teams do battle it out in the playoffs. Someday here in Buffalo. We are live here at WBEN 930 AM, and if you want to reach us here in the studio, you can reach us at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, or *930 if you're mobile, or text is 30930, so you can reach us here in the studio and any of those means, and call us with your questions. We got a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is Stephanie Crockett, the head of the Buffalo Olmsted Conservancy, Parks Conservancy. All right, there, I got that right. And also here with me is the head of Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo, Kevin Gaughan. And we're going to be talking about that and other things here today. But let's start, Stephanie. I couldn't help it. I got home 3 hours late last night. I traveled through Charlotte. You don't want to do that on Friday night, particularly in holiday times. It was a madhouse. Every single plane was delayed. Everyone said delayed on it. Now, there's weather in the south, so that's one excuse. The lines out in front of the airlines information centers were 50 people long. So I didn't even bother. I just waited and waited and waited, and finally my plane took off. But in the process of waiting, I got home late and turned on the news, and there was a news about the 198, and that cuts right through one of your parks. But historically, what was there? What did Olmsted plan for that route?
Originally, it was just a park road. So it was a meandering park road that would service people as pedestrians, on bikes, on horses, some carriage activity. But it was not designed to be a major thoroughfare by any means.
When did, in our infinite wisdom, when did we change that?
We changed that in 1959. Hmm. They decided to build an east-to-west corridor as an expressway. And so that was cut into the park. It straightened out the road instead of leaving it in its wonderful curvature. And the rubble from the construction filled in the historic quarry garden, which was out in front of the Parkside Lodge.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's tragic. And so going east from there, it also ripped apart Humboldt Park.
Yeah, it really took a toll on Humboldt Parkway. That was a lost parkway, basically, from Parkside Avenue. We call it the elbow that then hooks around into the 33. And the Kensington truly destroyed the Humboldt Parkway. That parkway looked like Chapin, from Parkside over to Best Street. And there was easily over 2,000 trees that were lost. The pictures are dramatic.
And we don't know what people were thinking at the time, but what's your guess? Why would anybody do something like that? Was that just the progress of the automobile, or what?
Some of it was. It was all that Robert Moses stuff.
Right.
But it really was the putting the car before the person. And it was because they thought Buffalo was going to be such an expansive city and was going to continue to grow at a rapid rate that they were going to need this type of transportation system. And it turned out that a lot of people actually left Buffalo, and we didn't see that booming growth. So we're left with a lot of heavy transportation infrastructure with just a moderate population. So it's almost we developed too much, and unfortunately we lost a lot of historic space.
We got way ahead of ourselves. Years ago, when I was in the early days of this show, I interviewed the head of our what became the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership, and he was saying that the roadway system that we built around the city was built for 2.4 million people.
Yep.
And I don't think we've ever approached 1.2. So that's correct. so we have double the highway space, which we now have to maintain, mm-hmm. which is staggering. And that is lightly traffic. Now that's one of our assets, and there's never really a traffic jam around here.
Right.
But that's also one of our liabilities as well.
Sure. So. And it truly affected so many of the communities that are around that parkway. We saw neighborhoods basically destroyed, their connections to each other ripped apart. We've even seen health issues with the fact that the expressway and the Kensington, with just all of the fumes and everything into the air, there's terrible health problems. So it's really sad to see what happened to those communities, and we would like to see those communities restored to their glory at some point in time.
This is an issue, I think, that we're facing in several parts of our community, which is why we're going to talk a little bit about the Nicholas Olmsted project here, too. But one of the things that I'm very happy to see in our community today is discussion of assets that we can invest in here in our community that have a ripple effect all around it and all the way through our whole community. Also in the press yesterday was the news of the Albright-Knox expansion and the latest upgrades to the plan, which are spectacular, and that's $160 million of investment, mm-hmm. which is going to be really shocking. Part of that investment, though, and it should be pointed out, is a maintenance fund, effectively an endowment to maintain the property, which I don't believe has ever existed at the gallery or really any of our institutions. Is one of the things that is part of Nicholas Olmsted project. Kevin Gaughan, what's the status of that today?
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Peter. It's lovely to be here with you, and thanks for the kind invitation. As perhaps some of our listeners may have noticed, we had a wonderful week this past week in connection with our efforts to advance our proposal. After some discussion and negotiation for a number of years, and under Stephanie's leadership on the part of the Conservancy and her colleague Chairman Dennis Horrigan, with our group, full disclosure, Peter Hunt, who's a member of our board of directors at Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo, we reached a formal, what we call a memorandum of understanding, which essentially is just a wonderful first step in a collaboration that we hope and certainly feel is going to lead to some terrific new public amenities. The idea is that now working with in cooperation with the Conservancy, our group Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo is going to go out and raise some funds in order to conduct some necessary studies to have some specific data that will support our ideas for our new Jack Nicholas signature course in South Buffalo. And perhaps in the future collaborating with the Conservancy to improve Delaware Park and hopefully restore the Arboretum in South Park and the present golf course. In this interesting conversation with which you opened, though, I just wanted to add one thought, which is in that period, and Stephanie is the expert, it not only Buffalo but cities around America made these decisions to that in large measure were sort of, in many ways, race-based. The idea was that white folks were leaving American cities, and all of these infrastructure, including these expressways, were built and designed to get people out of the city after they left work and out to the suburbs. And the tragedy of destroying, on the one hand, a beautiful Frederick Law Olmsted Park with the Skajakwita, and on the other hand, these minorities communities, Hamlin Park and the like, with the destruction of Humboldt Parkway. I always like to tell folks that if you want to envision what Humboldt Parkway looked like today, whether it be Bidwell, as you say, in Chapin, with the exception is it was even broader and even more magnificent. And to Stephanie's point as well, when you drive along the Kensington Expressway today and look at those homes, you can see the evidence of the environmental damage that it's done. So I think in a small way, not only are Peter's and mine a Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo project, but the long-term work of the Olmsted Conservancy, we are going to see the day when these, shall we say, suburban sprawl-based decisions were made will be reversed, and I think that's when we're truly going to restore the majesty and the legacy of Olmsted. And in a small way, as Peter and I and all of our colleagues, our purpose at Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo is to act as an assistant and a supporter of the Conservancy to help them achieve a small number of their broader goals, and that's a great honor. And we made great progress this past week in entering into this understanding.
If you go back in time, and you point out that the suburban sprawl was, symptomatic of the not just here, the entire country, and that was largely the response of to the baby boom generation and their housing needs, and the fact that there wasn't any means to fulfill that within the city as it was at that point in time. But that fails to recognize what happens to real estate. It deteriorates unless you maintain it. Parks, houses, roads, everything deteriorates. Nature is a very powerful force. And as a result, if capital flees the center of any municipality and dissipates out, unless there's truly population growth to support that, which we didn't have, what you have is something has to give. And in our case, what gave was the city itself. But now what we're seeing is kind of a healthy turnaround in that whole experience, the way that people's tastes are changing, particularly young people, in terms of how they want to live and where they want to live, and the fact that walkable communities and parks and cultural centers are becoming more and more important in people's lives as they, instead of wanting to be far away from each other, people want to be closer together. Before we go any further, we do have a caller online. This is Harold from Youngstown. Harold, how can we help you?
Hi, Mr. Hunt.
Good morning.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to know, Mr. Hunt, I look in the real estate transactions every week, and I always see Erie County listed, but I never see Niagara County listed anymore. It's probably been since like last May since I've ever seen transactions in the local publications. I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to be having Warren Colville, and matter of fact, Warren Colville and his daughter on coming up this summer, and you can ask him directly, but I really don't know the answer to that, Harold. I would guess that maybe, do those transactions appear in the Niagara newspapers, Niagara County newspapers at all?
No, not in Niagara County newspapers and not in Erie County either. And usually they list both transactions of Erie and Niagara County, but mm-hmm. Like I say, I haven't seen anything almost probably since like last May.
Maybe they're trying to keep it a secret.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. I don't know why, but I must say, Harold, I'm glad you called. We are experiencing a tremendous activity in Niagara County. Our company has just become number one in transactions in Niagara County, and we're very happy about that because we see a lot of opportunity there. One of the things about Niagara County, which we really like, is that it seems to be on a relative basis a bargain, and a lot of people are recognizing that and moving into that community. And we also have one talking about underdeveloped assets in our community. The whole city of Niagara Falls would fall into that category, and yet people are recognizing that, and they're going to Niagara County for what they see as a huge opportunity, and I happen to agree with them. So appreciate your call, Harold, and I'll be watching closely now and this summer when Mr. Colville and his daughter are on, you can quiz him directly.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Hunt, and you have a great Easter.
You too. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Right.
interesting comment about Niagara County. Did Olmsted, going back in time, did he have a vision for Niagara County, or was he involved there at all?
Oh, definitely. He was the one that saved Goat Island and Niagara Falls, basically.
So the park there at Niagara Falls, it's on the U.S. side, is an Olmsted Park, is it not?
It is.
So what's the history of that relative to our park system in the city of Buffalo?
Well, when he was here, convincing the city leadership at the time that they should invest in the nation's first urban park system, he also made a trip up to Niagara Falls and saw what was happening with industry along that shoreline and said that it needed to be saved. And he put together an entire campaign to actually get some of the factories removed and to save Goat Island, to save that shore. And it's funny, there's a WNED documentary out about Olmsted designing America, and one of the focuses is Niagara Falls. And it is true, people always say go to the Canadian side to look at the falls. And that's because you're looking back on the American side, which was saved and is in its natural glory today and wasn't built up. So we are very fortunate that he did that for us.
It really is remarkable walking around there. I used to, playing hockey over in Canada, I used to cross that bridge and look back at the ice, and it was magnificent stuff. But, you know, even living here, I hardly spend any time there. But since coming back to Buffalo after school, you know, I go there more than a little occasionally, and it's spectacular. Just a spectacular, the park system there, just wandering around. You can't do that on the Canadian side.
No, they've got a beautiful greenway, but the shoreline really is built up.
They've done a beautiful job from Niagara Falls, Canada, to Niagara-on-the-Lake, creating the parkway system is magnificent. Hopefully our Greenway project here will mimic that in some way, shape, or form, but we seem to be not making a great deal of progress along those lines. I don't know, if is your conservancy part of that?
Yep, we work with the Greenway. There's four different committees, and yes, very much so. The Olmsted Park system is actually part of the entire Greenway plan.
Well, that's encouraging. Let's go back to the golf courses. When did we have the brilliant idea to put golf courses inside the Olmsted Parks, and what happened there?
Well, I think the first one was Delaware Park, and it originated as Park Country Club at the time, and we estimate that it's over 125 years old. But as if you look at what's happening with golf in the early 1900s and the fact that Grover Cleveland was actually the host to the Men's U.S. Open in 1912, that's really when you saw the boom of golf come into Buffalo. I believe once they had that hosting event, that everybody wanted a golf course then, and that was the sport to be playing. And that's when you saw the golf course go into South Park. That's when you saw the golf course at Cazenovia all come into play. And they weren't intended to be part of the Olmsted Parks. They just were developed. Even the Delaware Park golf course didn't have a specific designer come in and create something. This was created by people who just wanted to play the sport, and that's why it's such a basic course.
So yeah. So whose idea was it? What happened?
In the research that I've done, the combination of sports generally and Olmsted Parks, to take a step back, Olmsted, as we all know, was very particular about what the purpose of his parks were. He saw them as what he called bucolic settings for just pastoral enjoyment. And indeed, he was at first very much opposed to having any type of sporting fields or the
Some
like.
Some of us who play golf would challenge that. There's nothing bucolic about the golf experience. It's at some points in the round, usually many.
But as Stephanie said, at the turn of the 20th century, the combination of these wonderful Olmsted lands that were being developed throughout the country, and then the sudden growth in the popularity of golf, and of course, you know, all golf course architects are in some measure the sons and daughters of Frederick L. Olmsted. He's considered in some ways the founder and most magnificent landscape architect, the inspiration for them all. I think it was in Boston's Franklin Park where it was the first park where Olmsted permitted tennis courts and baseball fields, and then before he died, he did consent to golf courses being placed in other cities, Toledo and the like,
So he knew about it.
He did know about it.
All right, we do have a couple callers online. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back with more from our house tours after these important messages.
Good morning. It's 9:30 from the WBEN Newsroom. I'm Mike Baggerman. Here's your top stories that we're following for this Saturday, April 13th. A student from the University at Buffalo remains on life support after a hazing incident at the Sigma Pi fraternity house on Custer Street. In response to the apparent hazing, UB President Satish Tripathi has suspended the activities of all frats and sororities at the university. Both UB and Buffalo police are investigating the incident. Former Erie County Social Services Commissioner Al Dershberger was sentenced to 5 years in prison after he raped a staffer of his in December of 2017 at an Albany conference. After his release from prison, Dershberger will spend another decade under post-release supervision. New York State is combating synthetic marijuana. Governor Andrew Cuomo said there's not enough being done to fight the drug that copies the effect of marijuana, only with worse side effects. He's adding more resources to state prisons and medical officials. Today's Record Store Day. Hundreds of records will be released exclusively to local shops today, and there will be live music at area stores. Your WBEN First Alert forecast for your Saturday. We're looking at mostly sunny skies, breezy and cooler. A high of 54 in the city of Buffalo, and it'll be closer to 60 the further east you go. Tonight, mainly clear, turning cloudy with a little rain towards dawn and a low of 37. Tomorrow, it's going to be a wet day. We're going to have periods of rain, a thunderstorm in the southern tier at a high of 47, and the showers continue on into Monday with a high of 45. Right now, it is 45 degrees in Buffalo at 9:32. I'm Mike Baggerman, News Radio 930 WBEN.
The Radio.com app is the official new home of WBEN. Download it today, favorite WBEN, and listen to us anytime, anywhere.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new, soon-to-be completely all-new HuntRealEstate.com, which is, we're just finalizing the details of its release, which will be April 30th, and I encourage you to take a look at that. It will be the only site of its kind in our community, which give you all kinds of information, not just a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts, but you'll also have access to a complete set of home ownership services, which you do today at huntrealestate.com. But the access is going to be different and far better, and this is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA all across the markets we serve. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, which is extremely important in a community like ours, and really all of upstate, where we've got really a diverse and some old and some new housing stock. But in many cases, you'll want to make it your own, and in that, hopefully all cases, in which case you want to know what you're in for, because a house doesn't have to be a money pit. You can know what you're in for up front, and that's through our Buy the Before and Live the After program. And you can reach them at 633-3700 at Hunt Mortgage to find out about this and other programs we have, including the pre-purchase commitment, which I mentioned earlier, and even our warm home loan. And for those of you who just want to pick up the phone and ask a question about real estate, any topic relative to real estate, 633-9400 is the Hunt Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America. And you'll either have your question answered right there or be directed to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. You know, there's a lot of talk about these things called iBuyers, people that you can go online and put some data about your house, and they'll supposedly instantly give you an offer. Well, if you think that can happen instantly, please think again. You'll want to have a professional involved in that process. And you want to give yourself some time, hopefully, to take advantage of the market. It's a very, very strong market right now. Don't sell yourself short, but undergird everything you're doing with that seller security plan, only available through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. Stop into one of our many open houses this week and ask about that. I'm in the studio today with Stephanie Crockett, the head of the Olmsted Buffalo Conservancy, Parks Conservancy, Olmsted Parks Conservancy. I can't get those words.
It's okay. It's B-O-P-C.
All right. Buffalo Olmsted Park. Okay, there we go. I got it right. And Kevin Gaughan, who's head of the Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo effort. And we've been talking about a bunch of things relative to the parks and the assets around them. But before we go to that, we have a caller on the line. This is John from Tonawanda. John, how can we help you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's lovely to be on your show.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
A couple things you said about the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, did a study on infrastructure, and, you know, I'm sure that's pretty close to right. But, boy, I got to tell you something. Hillary's campaign manager could have done a better job than the partnership did of advocating for business, and that's one reason this area declined so much.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. I would put that perhaps on the list, but it's not the fundamental reason. I think there's far more fundamental reasons. But go ahead, please.
All right. All jokes aside, and believe me, Andrew Redneck was a joke. Stephanie, I appreciate your passion and everything you guys do for parks, and I've heard about the advocation for expanding and rebuilding parks. But when those parks were built at the turn of the century, people didn't have anything else to do for leisure time. But there was no air conditioning. There were no airplanes to take you other places.
There's no Google. There's no Facebook.
Yeah,
that's right.
Everything.
How can we live without those things?
Weren't playing sports like right now. Parents weren't running around with their kids. Every time I drive by Delaware Park, or if I wander down to Front Park, that huge park on the water, they're beautiful. But even on a sunny Saturday in July, they're not jam-packed by any means. You know,
look closely.
Sorry to say this. I just got to beg the question, do we really need all these parks? I mean, they are.
Well, John, let me ask you a question. If they weren't there, what would you do with the land? Turn it into an office building or what?
Some of them are on very valuable locations.
Yeah, no kidding.
One might want to buy it, you know, and pay taxes on it. And I don't really think that's necessarily a good thing. But maybe it's a necessary thing, you know. If people really don't demand the need for these parks, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't use taxpayer money to.
Well, I think the demand. Let Stephanie answer the issue of demand, because I think that's really your question. If there is no demand for something, it should go away. What do you think about that, Stephanie?
Well, I think these are historic assets that have been around for more than 150 years, and when you consider that this was the first urban park system in the entire nation, that it's been sustained as long as it has, we do have high demand. We estimate that there's over 2.5 million visits per year to the park system. Every single park is being utilized with leagues, clubs, different sports activities, but also when we polled the community on what they use the parks for, a lot of them do use it for recreation as far as passive recreation. It is walking, it is picnicking, it is just enjoying the outdoors. And these parks do more than just provide for people's activities. These parks help our health and wellness of the community. They also do help with the economic development because, as Peter, you have said many times, the properties around these parks are very valuable and continue to rise in value. But we see social equity happening in these parks. The park spaces are a democratic space that everybody gets to enjoy. They're free and open to everyone. If we were to see these beautiful and irreplaceable parklands go away, they're not coming back. And that's one of the things Buffalo can be so proud of, is that they have retained the space, because you couldn't build it again.
Mm-hmm.
And if we let it go, we have let go of an amazing legacy, and we would be doing ourselves a huge disservice.
Yeah, John makes a point, you know, that people's behaviors are changing. I think the behaviors that he's referring to, and, you know, the kind of rapid escalation of some of these changes are not necessarily the best thing for the world, and I'm hoping that we can retain the better elements of our history, as you point out, Stephanie, that hopefully will make us a healthier population.
I think in some measure as well, you know, John's comments reflect the broader conversation that we've had here today about the history of flight from urban centers and the like, and what draws people's back. And every study is consistent in demonstrating that public amenities and certainly public space, and as Stephanie mentioned, Olmsted's idea of natural and nature being accessible to all city residents, which is the genius of his gifts, And as the Conservancy, now in existence now for some 30 years, has done this magnificent job to bring back the parks and restore them in terms of their cleanliness and the like, that's I think the studies demonstrate, and certainly in my judgment, that's the type of attraction that's going to restore people and continue our resurgence in the city. And but John's comment about having additional tax rolls and the like, that speaks to the fact that we had this period in which we had so much development without growth. And the way to get growth and attract people, young families, is exactly what we're doing with our Olmsted parks. And I hope we continue it.
We've got a lot of people seem to be interested in this topic. We've got Tony from Lackawanna. Tony, how can we help you?
Hey, enjoying the show quite much.
Good, thank you.
For you. I'm 61 years old. I grew up playing South Park Golf Course. I've walked around that lake a thousand times. And I'm just wondering, and it's great for the new golf. I have no problems with the new golf course, but my question to you people is, the people are in charge of this conservancy story. Have they ever walked around that lake? That lake is in disrepair. There's vegetation growing. That lake needs to be dug out. All those weeds need to be cleaned. It's an embarrassment.
John, Tony, let's let Stephanie respond to that. I think we're all sensitive to that. And one of the things that why we're involved in this whole project is that we need to attract capital to the parks. And that's not going to happen by waving a magic wand or beating on the desk of some local politician. It has to happen through direct community involvement and frankly, through positive change, we hope. But thank you very much for calling, Tony, and appreciate that comment. How would you respond to Tony's criticism? And there is criticism.
Oh, yeah, and I agree with Tony 100%. And the Conservancy has been very worried about that lake. As part of our Arboretum restoration, we have six phases that we have been approved by the city to undertake. And phase five is the lake restoration. That is a huge ecosystem that needs repair. The Corps of Engineers had originally started doing a study back in 2008 of how we could restore not only the wetland but the shoreline of that lake. And that study fell away due to funding. And we have been able to work with the local assemblyman of that district in securing new study funding, which we hope is going to come our way in the next couple of months so that we can complete that study and we can know exactly what it's going to take to restore that lake. It is vital to that park. We couldn't agree more.
And where is the lake relative to the original design of the Arboretum?
So the lake is in the heart of the park, and to the Hopkins Street Road project, it is adjacent to. There is even a section of the lake that goes under a historic bridge and then runs along the railroad, and that too is part of what our restoration would be. We believe that we also need to understand that hydrology and know if that lake is draining into other tributaries that would take it down to the Buffalo River and Lake Erie, because
we don't even know.
We don't know.
Really?
That's part of the studies. And if we can prove that, that could open us up to federal funding in being able to restore that lake, because it is going to be an expensive project.
Because we also have the Skagitwa.
We've got all kinds of projects.
All right. Well, we have to go to break pretty soon, but let's take one more caller. This is Tony from Buffalo. Tony, how can we help you?
Hi, Peter. Good morning to you and your knowledgeable guest.
Thank you.
I just caught part of the conversation. My question is, what could be done with LaSalle Park on the Lower West Side that would make it more attractable to citizens of Buffalo like Delaware Park is? And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Go ahead. Great.
And all of you have a blessed Easter. And Peter, again, we love your show.
Thank you very much, Tony, and thank you for calling. It's a good question.
It is, and it's one we get often. LaSalle Park is not an Olmsted Park. People get that confused a lot. The Olmsted Park on the west side is Front Park. Mm-hmm. But LaSalle was given a wonderful gift by the Wilson Foundation just recently, and they are working with the City of Buffalo to restore LaSalle into a world-class riverfront park. It's in its beginning stages. I know that there's been all kinds of community input and meetings, and I would suggest, is it Tony, to get involved with those community meetings and be able to talk about what that design is going to be. It looks to be a very impressive project.
We have other callers. Please stay on the line. We'll be right back with more from Our House Jurors after these important messages.
They're the same local financial guys and tax lady you've come to know and trust, but now they're on longer. Don't miss the Financial Guys Show with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, Saturdays from 1 till 3, followed by Ask the Tax Lady with Esther Goulias from 3 till 4. Finances and taxes from the local experts you trust. Saturday afternoons from 1 till 4 on News Radio 930 AM WBEN.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
And welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new, soon-to-be-completely all-new HuntRealEstate.com. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low-rate and closing cost guarantee. There's no better place to start your process of looking for a home than by knowing where you stand financially in the whole experience. And there's no better way to enter that process once you've gone through it, which is really very brief, by having that pre-purchase commitment. So start the process the right way through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Stephanie Crockett, the head of Buffalo Olmsted Parks Conservancy. I got the four letters on the right. Thank you for giving me that little acronym. And also Kevin Gaughan, head of Nicholas Olmsted Buffalo, NOB. So we got BOBPC and NOB. We got a lot of letters in here today. And we've got a lot of callers, too, and we're going to try to take these callers. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter, and your guests. You know, the parkland in the Buffalo area is great. I get up there quite a bit, at least once a week for business. And but I got to say, I'm very appreciative of the Kensington Expressway, the Skagitwa, and 190 along the river. I use those thoroughfares quite a bit. And I find them very convenient. The 190 along the river is beautiful. And the Skagitwa and Kensington really, to me, makes things very convenient. So what are your thoughts on those comments?
Well, interesting. I guess convenience is one thing, and you know, what we do to respect the original design is quite another.
Yeah, you know, I think John's comments speak to, again, the suburban age in America, and which, by the way, reached its height just about the mid-1970s, and the idea of working in one place and living someplace else, and what's interesting is how the competing interests of the automobile and mobility and the like in the suburban urban sort of framework dominate it, but it was at the expense of the health and growth of inner cities. And what we've learned, and as Peter knows, that in the work that I do in government reform and regional cooperation and regional thinking, is you can't have a successful socially, economically region without a vibrant beating center and heart. And and what's happening today is that younger folks now, for the past now going on 20 years, have, as Peter mentioned before, have sort of come back home to the idea that they want to live and work in a city, and given the environmental concerns and health concerns, that we have to sort of rethink balancing convenience with the future of our cities and indeed ourselves. So, but John makes, you know, it's not an easy equation, and a lot of people are giving it considerable thought. I think what's most important is we have magnificent institutions here in Buffalo, including the Olmsted Conservancy, that are thinking these matters through, and I think we can find the right balance. That's what we're all about.
One of the core things here that seems to be coming up and through the questions that are coming in off the from text is that there's if you look at assets, real estate assets, and their relationship to one another, what contributes to value and what detracts from value. One of the comments here is there are many neighborhoods separated by highways, and one example is the 290. Why change the 33 when it's functioning highway? And you know, that's not a bad point, but the fact of the matter is if you look at what contributes to value and what doesn't, that highway might contribute to the value of the properties that it connects between the suburbs and the city, but it does damage to all the properties in between. Whereas the assets like a public park system like we have, which is extremely rare in the world today, enhance the value of real estate all around it. And as really in concentric circles going away from the park, the art gallery, the botanical gardens, and we could go on and on and on. Yet no one says, gee, my highway is enhancing the value of my home. No one has ever said that to me. As a matter of fact, a lot of people say to us, I'd buy that house if it wasn't for that asphalt there. I would love to buy this house, but that bothers me.
Yep. Well, I was going to say, it's not that we don't need these roads.
No, but, we do need them. Absolutely.
But we do need better alternatives for these roads. They don't have to be highways. We can be building other forms of transportation that also then allow more inclusivity of other mobile options, such as bikes. But we have an opportunity to change the way a road looks. Mm-hmm. It's still going to have the same function, but we have an ability to make it better.
It's a fascinating conversation when Peter connects all this to real estate and residential real estate value, because to John's earlier point, with respect to the 190 along the lake, and of course that's this remarkably convenient highway. However, when it was built, because there was no sensibility and understanding of what happens when you build a barrier between a community and water, and you completely separate the two, and the devastating effect that had on real estate values. So to Stephanie's point, those communities that are rethinking and sort of reimagining and reforming these highways into boulevards and sort of more human proportion, they're reopening their access to the lake or to the park and the mm-hmm. like, and that's what's really driving the success of those cities. And that's what we're gonna do here.
Well, if you look at some of the questions here, people are saying, if you take away the Route 198 and 33, how am I going to get to the city from the suburbs? Well, that's exactly the point. And you know, that is a very, very good point, because if you take it away, then what happens to the value of the suburbs? I mean, but at the same time, it's how those roads are reconstructed. If you look, for example, at the village of Hamburg and even Harlem Road in Snyder and Cheektowaga out towards the expressway, and how those communities have been changed just by changing the flow of traffic by using traffic circles. And you look at Richmond Avenue in the city of Buffalo, and that I think is still the longest road anywhere in the country with the number of traffic circles we have, and that's part of the Homestead system.
Yes, it was.
And you know, these are things that are you drive a little slower. So to the caller texter that said that, how am I going to get to work? Well, it might take a few minutes longer. But, you know, one of the things about Harlem Road, which makes it one of my favorite roads in the whole world, is that you don't stop. You just keep moving. You might be going a little slower, but you don't stop, as opposed to rushing from stoplight to stoplight and then slam on the brakes and get angry and the guy swerves in front of you and you know, gives you a hand signal and you know.
And it's snowing.
And it's snowing. I'm not trying to change people's lives. I don't think anybody is. But if you look at the way roads were originally designed, you go, God forbid, go to England and drive around there. It's a different flow, and I think we've got to think a little differently.
Well, it's not an absolute. It's not that there's going to be roads or not going to be roads. Just be better roads.
Right, and it's, I mean, what difference does it make if I'm going 30 miles an hour on a super highway or 30 miles an hour on a beautiful road? I mean, I'm still going to go from one place to another at the same pace. Let's just look. Let's see what else people are saying here today before we go on. We've only got about 5 minutes left here. Let's take one more caller. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Well, okay, a little bad connection. I'm just wondering, since you were talking about the highways and stuff, and what part of the conversation might dovetail with the expansion of the rapid transit, and mm-hmm. if they weigh in on the cost benefit of such a thing. Thanks.
Thank you. It's an interesting comment. Does that play into your planning process at all, as far as the parks go? I mean, what would expanding rapid transit mean to traffic flow, do you think, Stephanie?
It depends on if people are going to use it,
right.
Is one thing. And I don't know where it was being planned currently, mm-hmm. but
I don't think anybody knows, do they?
We have been trying to work with the this one's a huge acronym. Is it the GBNRTC? Who is a transportation committee, and mm-hmm. we've been trying to work more closely with them as a body that does studies and becomes an authority on transportation issues. So I just look forward to more conversation about mass transit. I don't know what the plan is for Buffalo.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left here, so let's go back to the golf courses for a second, because you know obviously we've got both of you here, and that's kind of rare that we can get all together. What's the next steps, and then... What do we do? How do we get there?
The principal next step in the wake of our reach and understanding with the Conservancy and Stephanie and her colleagues, again, is for us to fulfill our promise to the Conservancy of conducting studies, specific studies that will show if indeed we get to the point of having the magnificent Jack Nicklaus redesign the golf course in Delaware Park. By that, we're thinking of a very modest upgrade and modest redesign. What effect that has on the balance of the park in terms of the other interests and stakeholders, and most important, the overall idea of Olmsted's a natural setting there. Those are questions both in terms of level of use, effect on the neighborhood, and the like that need to be answered. And so
we complete the studies, then what?
Then we complete the studies, and then we ask young Jack Nicklaus to do his thing. And with respect to our South Buffalo golf course, which is on a parcel, not in Olmsted Park, but adjacent to one, we're going to move forward with that design. We have a lot of work to do, as you well know, in terms of the specifics of retaining project managers and construction schedules, and most important, of course, raising funds. But our plan is to go forward with that park, with that golf course and recreation space, and again, create a budget and an estimate of what type of revenue and profit that will generate, so that if we can present to the Conservancy a solid plan and demonstrate and back it up with solid numbers that new space would be able to generate a sufficient revenue to replace whatever revenue and profit we'd lose from removing the golf course in South Park, then we might be in a position, and the Conservancy might be in a position then to decide to fully restore Olmsted's Arboretum, which would be a magnificent attraction not only for those of us who live here in Western New York, but for folks around the country. And then finally, our final component of an education center to tie all these new amenities in and give them a civic purpose of changing young people's lives by using these new public spaces to teach kids vocational skills. And the environment and botany and agronomy and everything, that would really be the ribbon on the box, and that's our plan.
And Stephanie, in our last minute or so, minute and a half, how important is the Arboretum restoration in your world right now?
Well, it's something we've invested in as far as a study for feasibility, and we've broken it down into 11 phases. Like I said, we've been approved for phases 1 through 6, which is with the golf course still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. Bringing back that type of arboriculture would lend to even STEM education. It would allow us to have a stronger partnership with the Botanical Garden. They do a lot of educational programming, and we would want to work with them. Like I said, it would help us restore the lake, which is a vital ecosystem. So it's not until we get to phases 7 through 11 that we would consider the removal of the golf course and the full arboretum restoration. So,
what's the timing on? I mean, in an ideal world, how fast could this happen, given the fact that conceivably the golf course could start relatively soon construction.
Yeah. Well, phases 1 through 6, we estimate it's going to take at least 7 years, and it's currently in our 5-year plan to focus on it. But depending on what happens on Hopkins Street and the NOB course there, it would have to be operating, as Kevin said, sustaining a certain level of revenue. And we'd have to then appeal to the community and to the city to say, does this successful golf course then render the existing golf course in South Park as obsolete, and could it be removed? But those are, you know, that's further down the road. And I think that a lot of people get sensitive thinking that golf course in South Buffalo is going to be removed, and it's not yet.
People want to know more. How would they know more from you, Stephanie?
They could go to the BOPC website. Um, beefaloparks.org, and we've got all kinds of position statements and information on this.
Kevin?
And in like manner with our project, our website is nicholasolmsteadbuffalo.org.
I want to thank you, Kevin Gaughan, and you, Stephanie Crockett, for joining me this morning. We'll be back again next week at the same time. I'd like to thank our listeners. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
WBEN Buffalo, WKSE HD3 Niagara Falls, a radio.com station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.